The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
We've spoken about Cambridge Analytica on this programme previously. About a year ago, I remember we spoke a lot about Robert Mercer, the man behind it, very close to Steve Bannon, who of course was for a long time the main man for Donald Trump in the White House. And of course, Mercer's daughter, Rebecca Mercer, was also very much part of the transition team when Trump entered the White House. Cambridge Analytica now, its involvement in all sorts of shenanigans, the feature of a major Channel 4 piece that was on last night, another one coming in relation to the American election at 7 o'clock this evening. But let's hear a little bit from CNN last night, where presenter Don Lemon met with the Cambridge Analytica whistleblower Christopher Wiley.
You also say that Cambridge Analytica was testing Trump slogans as far back as 2014, right? And this was before he started running. Terms that seemed fringe at the time, but let me get the question out so you can answer. It ended up being part of the Trump mantra. These are terms like deep state and build that wall. Go ahead.
Yeah, so we were testing all kinds of messages and all kinds of imagery that included, you know, images of walls, people scaling walls. We tested drain the swamp, testing ideas of the deep state and the, you know, the NSA watching you and, you know, the government is conspiring against you. And a lot of these narratives, which at the time would have seemed, you know, crazy for a mainstream candidate to run on. Those were the things that we were finding, that there were pockets of Americans who this really appealed to, and Steve Bannon knew that because we were doing the research on it. And I was surprised when I saw, you know, the Trump campaign and it, you know, started, you know, talking about, you know, building walls or draining the swamp, and I'm remembering in my head, wait, we tested this. So you'd have to ask the company, you know, and Steve Bannon where they got these narratives. But I know that we were testing these narratives, well before Trump had even announced.
Mary McKeown, I think the cynical manipulation of the American electorate had been long suspected, but do we now finally have the proof?
Well, I think that what Mr. Wiley said there is very, very interesting, but I think it was already more or less out in the open. I mean, Jared Kushner had boasted about hiring Cambridge Analytica, I recall, when I was in Washington, and Brad Parscale and Paul Manafort were also involved. They were the primary figures who thought, let's get hold of these guys, because this psychographic business was huge. I mean, I'm not a Facebook user, but I, you know, people post all kinds of things on Facebook, which gives you an idea of what their politics are, who they are. And so if you test them with very controversial images, that would have been considered way beyond the pale even a couple of years ago, and they're suddenly leaping all over them, you know that that's going to be good stuff for a candidate. And Steve Bannon, who was very much the Mercer protege, got involved with this as well. So, yeah, you know, I mean, there are a lot. I don't know if there's anything conclusive in that, really, anything more than what we knew already about, as regards to the Trump election. But I think it is very sinister that you have groups like this who are accessing information to then specifically target groups of people and then who are using information for other purposes. The whole thing, you know, I think Facebook has been very negligent in all this as well. And I think, they really need to get their act together and respond to this appropriately, not just try and block stories that have a huge public interest factor.
Are you a Facebook user, Cal Thomas?
Of course, I have to keep in touch with my grandchildren. Look, Matt, this is the biggest non-story in history. Both parties have done this for years. Focus grouping, testing of sound bites. If you listen to members of Congress coming before microphones and being interviewed on cable and other networks in the U.S., you hear these same statements, virtually identical. They have been poll tested. Again, both parties do this. Let me give you a quote from Maxine Waters, a liberal Democratic congresswoman from California. She said during the Obama administration, here's the direct quote, "The president," meaning Mr. Obama, "has put in place an organization that contains the kind of database that no one has ever seen before in life. That's going to be very, very powerful. That database will have information about everything on every individual in ways that it's never been done before," unquote.
But was that not done by fair means rather than foul?
No, look, the people collect information. You may not like the way it's manipulated, and the Federal Trade Commission is now investigating the use of personal data from 60 million Facebook users. But this kind of stuff, Matt, goes on all the time. You may not like it. Politics is an ugly business, but there are all kinds of profiles done on people. I get literature at my door because I live in a liberal democratic area. People think I must be a Democrat. I get phone calls during election season because I'm on some people's list. That's just the way politics is, and they all do it, and they've done it for years. Republicans are just catching up with the Democrats, who have done it for quite a long time, and much longer, I might say.
Carl, when I visited your house and I looked at the size of it, I immediately assumed you were a Republican. Back to you, Marion McKeown, though. Is that fair enough that everyone does this?
I had the same reaction when I visited Carl's fabulous home. I never thought he was a Democrat. I think he has some very wealthy neighbors as well. So, yeah, we never mistook you for a Democrat, Carl. Don't worry. And no, you know, I think, Matt, that you hit on it there. The difference is that this was stolen data. Barack Obama did set up one of the most sophisticated pre-election machinery things in terms of really using the internet and accessing the information there. But I remember being at an event it was in 2015 in Colorado, where the Matt Schlapp and the conservative political action group were there, and they were saying then, discussing how could they mine the internet, how could they do what Obama had done, and how are they going to be able to produce a similar result. And well, they clearly did, as you say, they did it through foul means rather than fair, but they certainly did it anyway. Look, as I say, these are all dots that are being joined,
okay.
But nothing majorly new there, I think, Cal, from the perspective of yes voters.
Cal, now, yeah. Donald Trump has congratulated Vladimir Putin on winning another term as president. The response from John McCain is that an American president does not lead the free world by congratulating dictators on winning sham elections.
Well, you're not going to hear this from me very often, Matt, but I agree with John McCain on this one. I mean, I've got a column coming on this on Thursday. This one, you talk about a stolen election, but he only got 75% of the vote. I mean, Saddam Hussein got 99% of the vote. So, by contrast, Putin's a piker. But there's video showing nuns stuffing ballot boxes, or at least women dressed as nuns. All kinds of shenanigans going on. People obviously cheating and fixing the election. Putin is an ex-KGB guy. Putin is a dictator. Putin wants to restore the Soviet Union, the greatest days of Russia. According to him, he's a dangerous guy. And I don't think that the President of the United States, I agree with John McCain, should be congratulating this kind of behavior.
Should Donald Trump be stopped from firing the investigator Bob Mueller?
Well, that's going to be a real political problem if he does. I think there are a lot of people who hate Trump, including within the Republican Party, that hope he does, because they think that will lead to his impeachment. I do think that Mueller has exceeded his initial mandate to investigate alleged collusion between the Trump campaign and people in Russia, maybe at the highest levels. And now he's into other things. And there's a question as to whether that is wise, or whether in fact it is legal. That's one of the problems with these special prosecutors. They can go rogue. If they don't find any evidence to support their original mandate, they can investigate other things. I don't think that's really fair to any politician, and I would say that if it was a Democrat or a Republican.
Meanwhile, Donald Trump wants drug dealers to be executed. Let's hear him say it.
If you look at other countries, I've gotten to know the leaders of many countries. And I won't mention names, but you know the countries I'm talking about. I go around, how's your drug problem? We don't have much of a drug problem. What do you mean you don't have a drug problem? Well, we don't have. I say, how come? We have zero tolerance for drug dealers. I say, what does that mean? That means we have the death penalty for drug dealers. We don't have a drug problem. Take a look at some of these countries where they don't play games. They don't have a drug problem. We have court cases that last 10 years, and then they get out at the end. We got to be tough. We have to be smart. We have to change the laws.
Marion, Duterte in the Philippines is the first person I'm thinking of.
The drug squads. It's really kind of a bit disturbing that the only leaders that Donald Trump openly admires or alludes to are people like Putin, Erdogan, Duterte. I mean, it's all the dictators, you know. But look, this is absurd, and it's not helpful. America has a huge opioid addiction problem. This is very much a white America problem in sort of poor urban, poor rural pockets mainly. I don't know how it's going to be dealt with, but it's not going to be dealt with by executing drug dealers, because as everybody knows, you get rid of one drug dealer, there's another 10 to take their place. This is an absurdity, apart from the civil liberty issues that are involved. This is Donald Trump again looking for a short-term, media-friendly sort of soundbite to satisfy some of his base who would, and I understand the frustration of what's happening in America with this massive problem. But Donald Trump has ignored it until now. He has said, oh yeah, let's set up a committee and they can look at it. And, Chris Christie, have a look at it, and Jared Kushner, have a look at it. But hasn't allocated any funding or offered any real solutions. And, going on a mass execution spree of drug dealers is not a solution.
Okay, execute the drug dealers, but don't take the guns back, which are used to kill people. Yeah. Horrible story, Cal, from Mississippi, where a 9-year-old boy shot and killed his 13-year-old sister over an argument over a video game controller. He went to his mother's partner's bedside locker, picked up the gun, came back and shot her in the back of the head.
Yeah. Well, let me first, before I get to that, agree with Marion. I don't agree with the executing drug dealers. The problem with drugs is not the dealers. The problem is with the demand. If you take the demand out, you're not going to have the problem with the drug dealers. Now, as far as this this horrible situation that you just mentioned, the 9-year-old boy shooting his 13-year-old sister in Mississippi, the authorities haven't said yet how he got the gun. Now, clearly, at least to me, it is a problem that the gun was not properly restrained. It was not locked up. It was not unloaded or whatever the proper safety feature should be for such a situation like that. I think we need to wait until all the facts are in before we start rushing to pass more laws, which clearly haven't done much good in Chicago on an average weekend.
Cal, can I just say very briefly there, when I was on Capitol Hill last week, and I'm sure you saw the very poignant pictures of 7,000 children's shoes that were scattered on Capitol Hill, one for every child who'd been shot, like young child who'd been shot in a drug accident. Not a murder, but an accident of a young child, toddlers in many cases handling guns. That's twice the number of people who were killed in Northern Ireland during the conflict, and this is just small children. The answer is, Cal, and I think you really do notice, to get drugs, I beg your pardon, get guns out of the homes. And this morning in Maryland, a kid walked into school and shot two pupils. He was shot by a resource security guard, but only after he had injured two of his fellow pupils. So this thing that Donald Trump is offering as well, get guns into schools, it's only ever going to happen that when it's too late, when somebody has already been injured. The way to deal with this is gun control. It really is. I mean,
respond quickly, please.
Let's not even go near the domestic, like the 10,000 women who've been shot by their partners in homes, Cal.
The guns out of the homes, and then only the criminals will have them to break in. Look, the fact is that because this time, unlike in the Florida case, there was a resource person who was armed in this school who most likely kept anybody from getting killed and more people from getting injured. That is the answer, to have the kind of defense against these criminals that won't allow them to go on shooting spree.
There were already two people shot and injured.
Sure. But it could have been a lot worse if this guy wasn't there, as the people in Florida were not.
But it mightn't have been bad at all if they'd never had guns to get in the first place. Anyway, Cal Thomas, Mary McKeown as ever, thank you very much for joining us on The Last Word on Today FM.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.